Welcome back to another episode on Be Agile, Not Fragile podcast. I'm Sharona. Join me today in welcoming two wonderful guests, Marsha Abishas and Dr. Rumesh. Welcome back, Dr. Rumesh. It's really great to have you back, Doctor. Marsha Abishas is from Austria. Hi, Marsha.
How are you over there, Marsha? I'm sure you have a great weather there in Austria at the moment.
Marsha is the founder of Leadership Coaching, Training and Support on the topic of Agile Leadership.
Marsha, for your information, I read your book on impact and I'm so excited to speak to you about the book. I like the way you wrote the approach of push to pull. So Marsha, I would like to just give a nutshell of the book, Impact. Employee development isn't magic. That's true. With a few coaching fundamentals, which any executive can easily learn from this book, it is possible to develop employees into top performers who will effectively contribute to the business success of their company. And this book, The Impact, is for anyone who wants to practice agile leadership and give employees a positive and effective guidance. So Marsha, from your perspective, do you think leaders are agile in leading others?
From my perspective, if you ask me if leaders are agile in leading others, it really depends how flexible they are in dealing with what we call the push or pull approach. So as you mentioned, I said it in my book, there are two ways to solve or to deal with a problem when one of your employees approaches you. So first of all, if a team member comes to you and he has a question and you says, okay, what should I do? Then the push approach would be that you just easily give him or her the answer. It's like, do this. The pull approach would be to move from telling to asking questions and to enable your team member to help him or herself to solve the problem for him or herself. And so for many leaders, for many years in the traditional leadership, it was the task that when the team member comes and has a question, that the leader answers the question and right to the point, go do that. In a more VUCA world, so a world that becomes more and more, diverse, and volatile, uncertain, complex, ambiguous, it is more important to support and empower people, to make them grow. So to close this and to summarize, an agile leader is a person, if you imagine, you have this image of push and pull, and it is like a continuum. Then you can imagine you have a slider, and you can move the slider from the push to the pull, because in some situations it might be important to ask questions and in others also to give answers. So an agile leader moves the slider on a regular basis, on and on.
Oh, that's fantastic. Very good definition. I thought it was appropriate and to the point. Sometimes, Marsha, in the working world, we do find leaders who are very traditional, who are fixated and indirective to the push type, and they have difficulties going and switching over to the pull type for whatever reason. So, Dr. Rumesh, what are your thoughts about this?
If you have come across such leaders in the past, very traditional, how do you coach them? How do you encourage them to move more towards being more agile? What advice would you give to such leaders?
So first of all, I think when we work with people, and I work with leaders around the globe, and also across all generations, and to support people to become more agile and also more adaptive to change, because this is also what we talk about, and this is also Rumesh, what I heard in one of your podcasts before. So I think if we want to support leaders to grow into a more agile perspective, then from the coaching side, what I notice is really supporting them in understanding and learning and teaching them to ask more questions, more open questions. This is one thing. And even before that, to help them to analyze a little bit better what is the development level on a certain task when he or she looks at the team member. Because coaching and coaching skills and being a little bit more agile only works in certain situations. So if you want to use questions to support somebody to help himself to solve his problem, The relevant thing is that you're talking to a person who already has the resources to find the solutions for himself, right?
That's true, very true. And the trouble is sometimes leaders, they think they know all the answers. So yes, that's the issue. Very good. I like the point you made about asking questions because that's important. But then when you ask questions, how do I approach the person? How do I frame the question to pick up that gems which lies hidden? Because I myself as a consultant, I find that problem sometimes. If you can help me understand what and how I should frame questions for that to take place.
Yeah. So I think it starts with a mindset, like in many cases. And the mindset is also to see the person you're talking to as somebody who has a lot of resources. And as you just mentioned before, more resources that he or she is quite aware of, very likely. So the first thing is, how do I look at my team members? How do I look at my employees? Do I see as a leader my employee as a genius asset, as somebody who has a lot of resources and talents? And if I can see that, or if I have that mindset, then I can also start asking questions and being interested in listening. So, and what kind of questions? It is the magic of open questions. Because an open questions, like asking when, where, how, or when did you already face this problem, for instance, in the past, you can ask. You can also ask, and if you already faced this problem, how did you solve it back then? And can you maybe transfer something of the solution that you found last time also to the current situation? So it is relevant to ask open questions to support the person to create her or his own mind and his own energy for solution.
That's very good. Very, very good. So the takeaway from what you said is the leader will learn how to ask questions and be clear on the development level. At the same time, it depends on the leader, how the leader views the people. If he views the people as assets who have expertise, who have knowledge that he values, that he really values, and he wants them to use that for the benefit of the company, then he has to view people from that perspective. But if he does not do that, then no matter what happens, he's not going to ask the right questions and not being able to unearth that expertise. So it's really a question of how the leader views the people as an asset or otherwise. So that's great.
Thank you, Doctor. That is a great point for all our listeners, Masha. So when you want to get the best out of your people as a leader, remember, everybody is an asset to your company. And you have to ask them the right question. When this happened, where it happened, how it happened, so that they can frame it in their own perspective and share to you what they really want. Is that what you are really saying, Masha?
Yes, and here I would like to add one more point, because lately, Rumesh, you said that listening is one of the major skills of an agile leader, right?
Yes, yes.
It starts with listening.
Yes.
And here I would like to build the connection between what we just said, the mindset of looking at people as assets, as important parts and resources to be successful with an organization. Because if I don't have that mindset, Rumesh, I also cannot do what you recommended because I will not listen.
Because you have a closed mindset.
Absolutely, absolutely. So to open your mindset, I think that's the beginning for an agile leader, so he can listen and ask open questions.
Yeah? And by doing that, you are learning. By doing that, you are learning.
Absolutely,
Fantastic. Very, very good. So I am going to now ask you another question about problem solving. Another big area people are grappling with. Today, we don't have simple problems. We have complex problems.
Right.
Problems that have many interrelated parts that, you know, there's no one solution. You know, there's a question of just understanding where to begin, what to do. You can't solve it. You just can reduce the impact. So that's an issue. So when we talk about complex problem solving, in your book, you mentioned very nicely that agile problem solvers consider three perspectives: the past, the present, and future. I like to look at it as agile person looks at what has happened, what is happening, and what is going to happen. And then connect the dots. For this to take place, you need agility. Now, my question is this. Most of the time, a traditional leader will say, guys, this is what happened in the past, this is what you're going to do now, and that's what you're going to do in the future. Because he is basing what has happened in the past, and he based on that, he predicts what's going to happen in the future. This is like putting everything in a box. This is what happened. This is, But when you are dealing with complex issues, dealing with new problems, you mm-hmm. cannot use that traditional approach about what happened in the past, what's happened, not in structure. You got a trial and error, try this, try that. Mm-hmm. But when leaders who are traditional are looking at problems from that old traditional way, and you want to encourage them to let people try out new things, experiential learning and things like that, they are very reluctant. How would you encourage, or what would you do to talk about problem solving on a more, like trying to sense what's going on and responding rather than predicting mm-hmm. and planning? What is mm-hmm. your suggestion? What's your advice to leaders mm-hmm. in yeah. this regard?
Yeah, I think it is really about connecting the dots. As you just said, in my experience with international people, with international leaders, I can really say that it's not only that traditional leaders sometimes have this, what happened, what to do, yeah? It's sometimes it's even worse, because sometimes some leaders are in love with a certain perspective. So we see leaders who are diving deeply in the past, yeah, because we need to understand the cause, yeah, and the cause is relevant. But as long as you always ask the question, why, you're turning backwards. Then we see leaders who are totally in love with the question, what's going on, yeah? And so they sometimes miss, you know, as we can assume, the past and the future. And the very tricky ones for me are also the ones who come into to me and work with me and tell me, you know what, Masha, I'm a totally solution-focused person. If somebody comes to my office, I tell him, if you have a problem, come only when you also have the solution. And guess what? Less and less people are coming since I do that. And then sometimes I ask, so make an educated guess why. Because there is not always
no a situation,
yeah, that you have. I mean, if you would have a solution for every problem, then of course things could work out easier. So for complex problems, what we need is to really connect those three elements. So to start in reflecting, when a team member comes and he has an issue, then I recommend that you as a leader start to reflect about the current situation, what is going on, use a little bit of the past, just as much as you need, yeah, to really have the full power, then really to ask questions, to go into the direction of the future, to really have a strong solution focus. If you do not respect the present and the past, you will not have enough energy in an agile, in a complex world, to really find creative solutions for complex problems.
What do you mean by just enough back in the past? Are you saying that don't go too deep, don't go to the root cause, don't go all the way back, just enough to understand what triggered it, what should you know? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Why is it so important that we don't go too far behind?
Yeah. Again, I think it is a question what kind of situation we are facing. Yeah. I mean, you were also referring in your last podcast, which I, by the way, would recommend also other people to listen to. You were referring also to these different kind of situations that we're facing. Yeah. So sometimes when we're facing a complicated problem, yeah, like in production, yeah, it is relevant when it's about quality to use the root cause analysis to go for 8D and whatsoever. This is perfect. Okay. In complex situations, yeah, it won't help us anymore, because in a complex situation, cause and impact, yeah, are not related directly anymore. And in that moment, yeah, to you can analyze yourself to death if you want, yeah, will not help
correct,
you
correct.
Because you
absolutely
need to get going and experiment, try things out. That's what helps in complex situations.
This is a brilliant insight from a brilliant coach. Most people confuse between complicated problems and complex problems. I think that's the problem. They don't know what the problem is.
and sometimes, you know, people feel it. From my perspective, you were mentioning that people are, I'm convinced that people are aware of more things that they can notice with their minds.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
The situation is that sometimes we are facing these complicated and complex problems, but what I see as the most important thing at the moment, maybe on the planet, is to build a golden bridge between complex problem solving and complicated problem solving. Because sometimes when we find great solutions for complex problems, sometimes we need to transfer it also into the other world. And to create more respect from these two sides, I think this is also the beauty of an agile leader, to have this awareness to deal with this dexterity. Is this the right term?
Yes, it is.
And with dexterity. Sorry for my English. To really face that both things are relevant. So we cannot rely anymore on the old traditional things. And we also should not fall 100% in love with all those super duper new methods. I think the relevant thing is to be really successful and to move the world forward and the organizations forward is to really balance things, yeah, and to link them.
Fantastic. So you use the word link as in linking what just happened in the past, not too much, but just enough to understand what's happening now.
Yeah.
And linking the solution or the option you have picked from solving a complex problem, forming the golden bridge to link it back to the complicated problem so that a solution to one situation or problem or challenge can be thought of as in the context of applicability in other situations. And this needs people the ability to link across functional silos, to link across different mindsets, different situations. So if we spend time and effort dealing with a challenge, problem, whatever you call it, and we come to some idea to move forward after a number of trial and errors, then we find that this may work fine, but what aspect of this can work in other places with similar problems? If we can leverage on that, then
absolutely,
we find that the whole situation becomes better. So
absolutely,
from our discussion, it's very interesting, Masha. I mean, I can sense you are really focusing on the importance. You started off by first listening. You're going to ask the right question, listen. Then you're going to
absolutely
learn from these people so that you can link what happened in the past and present. And then you can also link up with other functions to leverage on the opportunities to get better. That is really what Agile is all about. That's really amazing.
Yeah.
If we were to put all this together, it gives us a better understanding of Agile leadership from a coaching perspective. Now, I have also another thing that is bothering me, I'd like to share with you. You see, when we do our consulting or coaching work and we talk to the leaders, we go talk and all do is talk, and we realize that even if the leader is agile or becomes agile, whatever, he still has to deal with his leadership team. He has to deal with his followers. So if the alignment, you know, of the agility or agile thinking between the leader, the leadership team, and the followers on the ground is not there, we are still back to square one. How do you think this kind of a misalignment between level of agility should be dealt with?
Okay, so first, let me be a little bit provocative.
Okay.
What I see sometimes is the team is much more agile than the leader already.
Correct.
This is one thing that I see. And in addition to what I just said, I fully agree with you. This is a very, very big issue and a very important topic. So my answer to that is, if you want to link and really create an agile energy and an agile culture for the right situations, then the relevant thing is to have a lot of transparency and a lot of communication. So it might sound funny because the world gets more complex and more digital and the digital transformation and everything's going on. At the same time, the more digital the world becomes, the more important it is to have a respectful, appreciative human relationship and communication with each other, because only then we will be able to solve the complex problems of organizations, families, or even our societies.
Okay, very good. So values like respect, trust, communication, focus, collaboration, these are the underlying elements that has to be manifest. These are not in place, you won't get the alignment, you won't get the culture. And especially the fact,
right,
I think your provocative question about people are more agile is very true. But then, you know, I was in a session the other day talking about IT, software development. I was talking about agile project management. And as I was talking about agile practices and values and everything, one of the participants looked at me very intently and started shaking his head. And I asked him why. He said, you can say and speak all you want, doctor, but the reality of the fact is, my leaders don't believe in that. They'll talk about collaboration, they'll talk about self-organization, self-leadership, but they come and tell us what to do, and there's no two ways about it. Because it's, in a sense, cultural, not so much work culture, it's a locality, you know, Asians by nature, they are most subservient to the boss. The boss knows best. The boss should know what to do. And the boss is always going to be the person with the last say. So to say that, you know, my team is going to make the decisions and are self, it's nice to say and put up all the sayings on the wall, but it really doesn't take place. So what do we do now? How do we steer them away? My thought was to recreate an awareness for the leaders and try to get this alignment in place. It's easier, I suppose, in Europe where the leader subordinate distance, power distance, mm-hmm. not so much,
yeah.
you know. But in Asia, it's a different ballgame. So I think our listeners must bear in mind that, okay, what we're saying applies, correct? But the challenge we face can be a little bit more deeper based on the surroundings we are in. What do you think?
I fully agree with you. And I mean, as a person who used to live on both continents, yeah, in Europe and also in Asia, of course, there are very specific differences. And at the same time, we are facing very similar topics. And so as I'm still doing a lot of coaching also in Asia, the US and Europe, I would say it is really important to support leaders, particularly in working on the mindset. So I was working lately with a huge corporation, a global one, where there was already, particularly also from the IT perspective, a lot of things going on with agile development. So that was already set. And then people said, okay, now we would like to invite our senior management team. And they were people from 18 countries, also the bigger team. And so what we did there is we supported them in experiencing some of those agile principles. And for instance, the topic of this differentiating between complicated and complex problems, so the Kinevin concept, is something that was highly appreciated by the senior management team. And I had people like board members telling me, okay, so now I can grab it even better. I get a better idea how to link things and not see, let's say, from the one side to the other side, that these people are maybe a little bit exaggerating or too traditional. Right. So I think it's really important that we are working on project management side very, very specifically. And I think there we already have a lot of things that we can apply. And from the senior management side, I think it's also very important to support mindset, yeah, then also following skill set and then tool set.
Fantastic. Skill set, mindset, tool set. Lovely. I like the way you say things and flow so nicely. It's almost like a poem. Masha, so tell us a little bit more about the coaching you do. I mean, I'm sure our listeners will be interested. Are you having any session going on, any certification, any additional things you do?
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, you have written books, you have spoken, you have been so experienced. Can you share a little bit more about yourself, the work you do, any courses mm-hmm. or programs you are having so that listeners, if they're interested, they can connect with you?
Yeah. So together with the network that I founded, the Think Beyond Group, we are delivering online certifications, online workshops for leaders who are interested, yeah, in like really getting a deep dive on these coaching skills, yeah. Maybe a little bit special is that we are working also with very small groups. Yeah. So we really try to be as, actually to live what we say. Yeah. To have a good connection, to have a strong relationship and to support so that people really can make a difference and they really have an impact as this one book is called. And at the same time, what we also support is we also support a lot of HR developers and leaders who are seriously interested in making the transfer from people development stick on a long lasting level. And so one of our certifications of that for the 12 leaders of transfer effectiveness starts on the 6th of October. So this is something that's coming up right now. Yeah, so that's a little bit what we do. And of course, my colleagues, the experts from around the globe, yeah, are also available to support on specific topics when it's needed. We are there to serve you.
Thank you, Masha. I really had a wonderful session with you. I think the key learning points we had from this session is that you have to be very careful to understand the meaning of agile leadership. You've got to spend more time and focus on people who are traditional mindset, help them move the leader, the level. How do you do that? By getting them to listen, to understand, open their own mind, and then look at their people as gems, as assets. Then respect them for what they know, help them uncover what they know, and this way solutions will be found easier. And that solutions are something that you can use across different silos, because if you have a complex problem, you may have something that's useful that will reduce the impact. At the same time, that lovely word you used was the golden bridge across to complicated problems. And that means the importance of linking one to the other, learning, listening, and developing. It's been amazing having you, Masha. I'm going to really look forward to a few more sessions with you. We are really excited and happy that you are part of this team, and thank you for sharing this. I'm passing over to Sharuna, and hopefully she can summarize and tell us what she thinks. Sharuna, over to you.
Thank you, Masha. It was a great discussion with Dr. Rumesh and Masha. I would like to summarize on the discussion we had today. Today's discussion was about the understanding on agile leadership, the approach a leader takes to manage their people by having the right value, right behavior, which uses listening, learning, link, leverage, lift, liberate their people to a higher level in an organization. An organization should have the right skill set, right mindset, and right tool set in order to manage their people. Till we meet again in our next podcast, I would like to thank Masha for taking her time off to spend with us in this discussion.
Thank you very much for having me. I feel very honored. And I mean, every time when I'm in contact with Malaysia and also with Asian clients, I really get again like the mood to move again to Asia and to spend more time there. So I hope in the nearer or further future, this will be possible soon.
That's for sure, Masha. We will be in contact in our next podcast. Thank you so much for being with us. Thank you, Dr. Rubesh, for having this discussion today with Masha.
Thank you, Sharuna. Thank you for having me.
Till we meet again in our next podcast, I'm Sharuna signing off from Be Agile, Not Fragile podcast.